Welcome to Smart Web Creators. In this podcast, you will listen to creators creating amazing things on the web and sometimes just me talking useful web stuff. I'm your host, Davinder Sinkanth. Let's get started. This is episode number 5 of the podcast featuring Yon Ko, where he shares how to make client websites faster. Hey, Yon Ko. So I did pronounce your name correctly this time, right?
Yes, you did.
How are you doing, man?
Doing really well. Thanks for having me.
Is it hot in Germany as well?
Oh, yes. We have currently it is 36 degrees Celsius. Should be 105, 106 or something in Fahrenheit.
36 is normal here, man. That's not hot.
that's 15 more than what we're used to here.
Because here normally is 44, 43, sometimes even 45.
I would die.
That's normal here. 35, 36 is pleasant for us. Okay, so why don't you give a short introduction, what you've been doing in this online world for the last few years, and then we'll move on to your new service-oriented endeavor in the WordPress ecosystem.
Sounds very good. I started as an entrepreneur in 2013 when mm-hmm. I launched a company with my best friend. He's actually still one of my closest friends to this mm-hmm. day. We've known each other for 10 years this month. Mm-hmm. Back then, I was focusing on building websites already, and he was doing hardware part, setting up office spaces and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And at some point, he got a really good job offer that he couldn't deny. And I continued the venture on my own. And ever since then, I started my first blog. I'm from Germany, but I already started in English back then because I thought the local businesses where I live in a quite rural area here in Germany, they don't understand online marketing that well. At least back then they didn't. So I didn't want to have to explain why a business needs a website. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to have these conversations. So I already focused on getting clients all around the world. Basically, I'm quite familiar with English, ever been. So always been. So I started working with WordPress right from the beginning. I had the first experience with WordPress in a job working as a business consultant. That's mm-hmm. how I first got in touch with it. And then I just decided to focus my coding skills more on the WordPress ecosystem, like building themes, building plugins, setting up sites from scratch and stuff like that. So that's basically what I've been doing until last year. And then mm-hmm. early this year in January, I got hired as a lead developer for a German agency. And my freelancing, I still do freelance work, or I still run my own business. But the lead developer part is now taking up most of my time.
So correct me if I'm wrong. You started with your own agency setup, and now you're working with some other agency as a developer, right?
Yeah, most of the time I actually was freelancing all on my own. Mm-hmm. And then I got in touch with those guys from the agency that hired me mm-hmm. probably in 2015, something like that, mid-2015. Back then I worked as a freelancer for them. And mm-hmm. at some point, what they needed was somebody who could build WordPress websites and code in WordPress. And what I needed is designers who actually can create nice looking designs. So at some points, our projects were tied together really closely.
Okay.
And we spent hours each month going through the projects and knowing I need to invoice them this amount of hours and they need to invoice me that amount of hours. So we noticed we just get along really well.
So are you working with that agency as of now?
Yes. I am their lead developer now. I joined their founders team, actually.
So is that a full-time job now for you? Or
yeah.
So besides that agency stuff that you do as a developer, you have stopped making website on your own, no direct clients, and you've shifted your focus on something specific, which is speeding up client websites. Now, how did that happen?
That happened mainly because Of two reasons. First, I didn't want to compete with my employer. That just makes sense. Like,
Fair enough.
if I get approached with building a website, I would rather have the team directly in place rather than just being on my own as the developer. So that was just one thing. And the other thing was a book that is called Build to Sell, which is about building an agency that is actually sellable in the future, because that requires a certain structure for the agency, like removing yourself from the day-to-day business, for example, and setting up processes and standard operating procedures and stuff like that. And that book really sparked an idea in me with focusing on the loading speed part of the websites, because I've been doing that ever since. It's just part of regular WordPress work. But now, when I focus on it, I can craft like a package, almost like a productized service where people can buy the product speed optimization rather than working with me as a freelancer and seeing it as a service.
Okay, and regarding the speed optimization service, are you alone working on it, or do you have few
I
subcontracted
do have
employees?
contractors, yes. I do have contractors who do the main part of the work.
Okay.
Mainly because I don't want to be involved in that day-to-day business. I just want to be on top of the game and work on the business rather than in the business.
So you do help them or guide those contracted
Yes.
workers like how to do this speed
Yeah.
optimization with the work processes and the workflow, right?
Yeah. We figured out a pretty good process on like how to analyze the websites and then figure out what needs to be done.
Now you mentioned about using systemized cold email outreach process to find clients for speed optimization service. Can you explain what this is and how does this work? Because not many people would know what a cold email outreach process is.
Yeah, actually, cold email outreach is something that I've just introduced lately. I haven't, I or I didn't need to do cold email outreach when I was working as a freelancer, because I had a really strong network of people who always referred clients to me. Like I would build up strategic partnerships with coaches for entrepreneurs or with business consultants, for example, with people who constantly could refer projects to me. Now, with the speed optimization process, what I figured is rather than just relying on people referring projects to me, I want to have my own predictable sales pipeline, basically. And what I did is I did an analysis of the market and figured out what types of websites benefit the most from a loading speed optimization. And I decided to focus on the WooCommerce market first, because we
Okay.
only do WordPress websites. And with online shops built with WooCommerce, if they load faster, they almost immediately see better conversion rates and getting more money from the site. So that's my rationale behind that. And what I did is I searched the web for a database of websites running WooCommerce. There are sites that sell, like they just scrape the internet, basically check if WooCommerce is installed, and then save that domain in a spreadsheet. And I downloaded one of those spreadsheets. And now what we're doing is every day we're working through that spreadsheet, and then we try to find email addresses associated to that page if it fits our criteria, and then we reach out to them via cold email.
Okay, circling back, like how you get clients for the service. Now, there's one process which is called email outreach. I believe you use, I think you mentioned this in the web creators community that you use hunter.io for
Yeah.
the same process. So besides this medium of getting clients, do you have any other funnels or other ways to get clients for speed optimization?
The other main way currently is my referral network of
Okay.
people who know that I'm doing that and who know that I'm good at what I'm doing and just refer their contacts to me.
And even the cold email outreach process is being handled by your workers and not you directly, right?
It's basically mostly automated, even. Like, I've built a tool that can analyze the websites automatically based on criteria that ensure that they are a good fit. And then that tool plugs into Hunter.io using their API, and the email addresses that get back get added into a spreadsheet that I can then, or my team goes through and sorts those out that don't make sense to reach out, like any support addresses, for example. And then those emails get plugged into a tool that is called mixmax.com, which allows you to set up cold email sequences. So basically, you would set up like a drip campaign of emails. And if the first email doesn't get opened or you don't get a reply for the first email, then 2 days later, the tool automatically sends up a follow email and things like that.
That's interesting. So let's talk about speed optimization. Now, this is very important. How do you explain the importance of a faster website to an average client, as this is a difficult task considering majority of clients are blinded just by two tasks: a good looking website and getting the website developed. These are the two main tasks. Like majority of they don't even bother about content. So speed optimization comes below, very low in the ladder to make your website. So how do you convince them, explain the importance?
That's actually one of the beautiful aspects of the process for the cold email outreach that I created. Is like with WooCommerce store owners, it's super easy to explain why having a fast shop is
Yeah,
important.
money, money.
Money, money, exactly. And money always is the hook to get the project, because you just show them the statistics that Google and Kissmetrics and all these other pages compile, like 74%, 47, sorry, 47% of consumers demand a website to load within 2 seconds. And for every second of page loading time, you lose 7% in conversions. And usually these two numbers alone, like the client or the prospect immediately starts calculating how much money he's losing with those numbers. Like if I show them a report stating their website takes 10 seconds to load and they lose 7% conversions for every second, it's almost a no-brainer to think that speed optimization is important.
Now that's for the WooCommerce, or where the money is the big factor. Like how do you explain the same thing to say a brochure, 5-page brochure website, which is just a portfolio website? Do you even handle those clients, or do you even waste or invest time in explaining the importance of speed optimization to those kind of people?
We don't actively reach out to those kind of people. Usually when we work on those, those are referrals where we need less convincing on. But it's the same hook or the same argument, basically. Like if you have a fast loading website, the perceived quality of your website is higher. Like you don't frustrate people when they are browsing through your website. Even what I use sometimes is an analogy. Like I ask the prospect to imagine their clients sitting on a bus or in the tube or wherever, where they have like 1 minute to 2 minutes to check their phone. And when they come to their website, they don't want to wait any longer than they absolutely need to see the information on their website.
I think you already confirmed this, but I want to confirm again, like you only work with WordPress websites, right? Not any other web platform.
Yeah, currently we're only focusing on WordPress.
Okay. So say for example, I'm the prospective client and I have made a contact with you. Like what do you do when a first contact is made by a prospective client? Do you proceed with free consultation or straight away offer them a paid plan? Like how do you proceed?
Usually what we do is rerun the website through GT Metrics, which is our favorite analysis tool. We use Pingdom as well to confirm. And then based on GT Metrics, we send them the report so that they actually see the numbers for themselves. We give a brief explanation of what they can do on their own. And we offer a more detailed service after that once they confirm that they're interested in the website, in optimizing the website.
And besides GT metrics and Pingdom, do you have any other secret tools to analyze the status of this website with regard to speed?
Well, if they were secret, I probably wouldn't share them. But no, we don't need any other tools currently. It's like there's only so much that you can analyze on a website,
GT
right?
metrics gives such a detailed report. Like most of the people just see, okay, 2 seconds, let's close the page. I don't understand what's written down there. That's a common thing with most of the people.
And that's where we come in actually at exactly that point,
So now, once you've identified items that are causing slow speed of a website, now do you get back to the client for customized quote for the job offer, or do you offer a productized service like one price package with specific work items?
Currently, what we do is we write only custom code for the products, which is the reason why our prices are somewhat expensive currently. we don't use any like regular caching plugins or something, but because only what those plugins usually do is they add code to the htaccess file on the server.
Yeah.
Like they add directives to that file, and we can write those on our own without bloating up the WordPress installation with another plugin.
So you hate those plugins, right?
I wouldn't say I hate them, but it's at some point it's unnecessary. Like the team that we've compiled here is pretty savvy or pretty good with customizing htaccess files and excluding what needs to be excluded and setting up all the gzip compressions and expires headers and all that good stuff in the htaccess file directly. And what's also the beauty of that is that it's less risky for the client to change settings and to break settings at some point. Like when they try to edit the configuration of the caching plugin and they add like the minification, for example, put all the CSS into one file.
My site is broken.
Exactly. And then they come to us and say, you broke our site.
Yeah, because it looks like as if someone smashed it on the floor because, you know, the design is gone. Only the text is visible. That's a very common thing. But now you mentioned that, okay, now for things like expiry headers and all that, you can add code for it in the htaccess file. But what about the caching part? How do you do that? Is that the same like custom code, or you have some custom plugins done for that? Like, how do you go about with that?
Caching usually is handled through CDN. We usually set up a Cloudflare account with our package and then leave all the minification and the caching to Cloudflare.
Okay, that's like offloading task from the WordPress.
Yeah, it's all about saving server resources at that point. Yeah,
I'm asking you because this is very new for me, because for very standard normal users, you know, even adding expiry headers to htaccess would be a difficult task. They would just end up using a catch plugin. Like there are so many of them, like Swift Catch, there's Super Catch, there's WP Rocket. Yeah. Now they have all kinds of options. Obviously some options don't play nice on certain hosting and you end up with broken websites. So
yeah,
I'm just asking from a layman point of view. Now if I have I have two options on the table, using a plugin like WP Rocket vis-a-vis using a custom code like you do and setting up a CDN, which according to you would perform better on same hosting environment, same kind of a website with same kind of content and traffic?
That's a good question. I probably wouldn't say that there would, in the end, there would probably be no noticeable difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that what we do is that much different than what a caching plugin can do. And most caching plugins that I've come across, they don't really add like extensive resource load to the website. It's only for those plugins, like when Swift Performance is what we're using internally on our own websites too. Mm-hmm. It's like it's with most like most designer websites. They always build good designs for their clients, but they don't have time to work on their own.
Yeah, that's true.
It's somewhat similar with us. So we use Swift Performance. And when that plugin builds up the warm-up table and goes through your website and scans what sites need to be cached and caches those, that is a phase where the server is under quite some load and the server resources get bogged down a little bit from the plugin, which is nothing what we would have in our configuration. But in the end, I don't think that there will be like 2 seconds difference in between the configurations. I think either will be fine.
So in not even a single case where you have a paid client for this web host, a web speed optimization service, you do not install any plugins. So it's all custom code and using CDN, right?
Sometimes what we do is we install the Cloudflare plugin just so that the client is able to purge the cache without logging into Cloudflare.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes what we do, depending on the need of the client, is installing a software that replaces YouTube videos with thumbnails and only loads the player on click, because we just recently finished a website in the health niche with a fitness trainer that had like all those testimonials on the homepage, which he wanted to keep. So we just used that approach. Other than that, image optimization, maybe like E3W or something like that, or Kraken, that optimize image files on upload.
So image optimization is part of the package that you offer, or is this like, is this separate from what you offer in a productized service?
We usually focus on a selected number of pages where we do image optimization manually.
Okay.
And then we install those plugins to automate the process as good as possible. There's two sides of image optimization. One is reducing the file size, and one is making sure the images are uploaded in the correct dimensions,
yeah,
which usually cannot be automated.
Yep.
So file size optimization usually is included in our package, and then we do check the images for the correct dimensions on a selected number of pages that we agreed on with the client.
Yeah, because this is a two-edged sword, because if you do not use the correct image dimension, you get dinged on the score on GT metrics.
Yeah.
But yeah. I personally sometimes use bigger images than what it would be required in a specific column or a row, because they look good on Retina display, right?
Yeah. You just need the add to X variation of the image.
Yeah. So that will fix this problem, right?
Yeah. And also what we see more and more, luckily, is themes using the source set attribute in their code, which is the way to implement the image so that the browser knows what version to load depending on the width of the browser.
I think that was introduced by WordPress by itself. Like, it's a default feature now, right?
I'm not sure if that's default by now, but we see it more and more. We usually, or sometimes we don't work on websites that are up to date, so we first need to run the updates.
Okay, now, generally, have you noticed a pattern of specific items or reasons that cause slow loading speed in majority of cases? Like, your favorite reasons?
Yeah, there are multiple. Actually, images are a big part because most business owners don't pay attention to that. Not cleaning up your plugins is a big part as well. Like, for example, using the Contact Form 7 plugin, which is highly popular, but they load the scripts on every page.
On every page, yeah.
Yeah, which doesn't make sense at all. Other resource-intensive plugins like Broken Link Checker, for example, which all work very well, but they are resource intensive.
I just removed it yesterday, you know.
Yeah, I think in your group there was a post shared about this topic, which 30 plugins or something.
I shared that post and I was surprised to see Broken Link Checker there. And guess what? Yeah. I hardly get any broken links on my website, so I just removed that plugin.
Yeah, and there are so many external tools that you can use, like Screaming Frog or something, that scan the website externally.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so besides images, what are your favorite reasons? So you are continuing with that, right?
Yeah. Sliders, usually, like layer slider or revolution slider.
I thought those days were gone, but I guess you get a lot of classic websites that are slow and want your help, right?
Yeah, they are slow for a reason usually.
So do you suggest them replacing slider with a static image, or you keep them happy with their slider fanciness?
Usually we try to convince them and explain why a slider probably doesn't make sense in their situation and how a static image or static content in general will probably increase conversions even.
So when convincing fails, what happens?
We usually just either we can find a very fast slider plugin,
which is your favorite. I think SoliloQ is the top of the class. Do you use that?
Yeah, that's what we fall back to in those cases. Or if the client really wants us to keep the slider, well, we just have to make it work then.
So images, sliders, what next?
Not cleaning up the database.
Yeah.
Like clogged up databases with orphaned metadata, like post revisions and terms and tags and all that other good stuff, which you can use. Swift Performance has a really good cleanup tool integrated. WP Sweep is what we use on other pages as well.
Yeah, I use that plugin. It's very easy to use, the Sweep one.
Yeah.
Okay, so images, sliders, database. Is there anything else?
Slow hosting.
Okay, now this list will keep on growing. Okay, so let's start the actual process of fixing. Like when you have a site on the table that you need to fix, do you clone an existing website or directly start applying fixes to that website itself?
Usually we start working on the website directly because most things what we do, we know won't break the site. We do take a backup before, of course.
Okay.
That's of course. And if we know we need to do some more in-depth work, we clone the website. But the problem with cloning the site is that there's only so much you can do on a clone. Like you can optimize the scripts and you can optimize the images and minify and stuff like that. But in the end, you need to specify the configuration to the host of the live website, which usually is not the environment we have in our cloning area. And that's why we need to work on the live website as well.
Mm-hmm. So if you identify that the web hosting is causing the slow speed, do you do website migration to a better host in those cases?
Yeah.
Or you just send client away to get it done from someone else?
No, we recommend another web host, and then we do the migration for them if they want us to.
And which web hosting generally do you recommend, like in majority of cases?
We really like Cloudways web hosting.
Okay. And other than that, like the top of the class are like WP Engine, Flywheel. You don't use those?
WP Engine is somewhat restrictive when it comes to optimizing for loading speed.
Yeah,
they have their own caching setup, which seems to work pretty well for the majority of the websites, but they are limiting what we can do as our service.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a good option for us. SiteGround seems to work pretty well for many clients, and our Liquid Web seems to be pretty reliable and fast as well.
Okay, now let's talk about WooCommerce websites. Now, what is the difference in your methodology or the stuff that you do in optimizing the speed comparing a WooCommerce website vis-a-vis a non-WooCommerce website? Like what extra things you need to be careful when you're doing the WooCommerce website optimization?
Mm-hmm. So first of all, we need to make sure that we don't break any WooCommerce functionality when minifying and combining scripts. That's a given.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make sure that the product thumbnails in the settings actually fit the products that have been uploaded. So we need to work on those. There are things inside WooCommerce that can slow down the website. Like when you have this mini cart, usually in the top of the page, you have like this minified cart item that shows just the amount that you have in cart and the number of products.
Mm-hmm.
Having that functionality with live updates, once you put a product into the cart, also can slow down the website because it's additional scripts that need to be embedded for that. And it's additional AJAX functions that are running in the background. And usually what we do is we talk to the client and most often they agree to remove that functionality and instead take a client that adds a product to the cart directly to the cart page rather than having that minified cart update.
Because a lot of WooCommerce website would have those cart, because majority of WordPress themes or for WooCommerce has that feature. On top right side, you will see an active cart button.
Yeah.
So as soon as you add items, they will start appearing that place. So you recommend removing that, right?
Yeah.
And obviously take care of no caching on the cart and checkout pages.
Yeah, exactly. Ignoring all the WooCommerce cookies and stuff like that, or the session data for WooCommerce.
And what about people who create mess with adding multiple WooCommerce add-ons? Like there are so many people who would just keep on adding add-ons for very small functionality in their WooCommerce shop. Do you even address that as well?
That depends on the situation. There are too many add-ons to really have a rule of thumb for that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's easy to integrate that functionality into the theme, we offer to do that. The problem here is, though, once we integrate that functionality and remove that plugin, we need to keep that functionality updated once WooCommerce updates.
Yeah, because that's the problem with WooCommerce.
Yeah, yeah. So usually what we do is just we try to leave them in place,
mm-hmm,
and then just optimize them as good as we can. Like with Swift Performance, for example, you can specify where which plugin is supposed to load. So if you have a plugin in WooCommerce that only handles the back end, like extending the customer management, for example, or extending the order management in the back end, we can force the website to not load that plugin and the related scripts in the front end using Swift Performance.
Okay, so once the optimization has been done, do you educate client what all has been done with regard to speeding up the website? And also, do you provide any documentation or video training for further self-maintenance, like clearing cache? Because sometimes you do install plugins, right?
Yeah, sometimes we do. And when we do, we give the client a walkthrough, usually in a short screencast or in written form with screenshots. Yeah.
Okay. And your speed optimization service, is this a one-off service or most of the clients come on regular retainers for regular speed check analysis and fixes?
We're actually working on introducing a monthly retainer model as we speak right now. Currently, it's only one-off because I'm only providing that, I'm only focusing on that service for like the last month or so. But we started with one-off to validate the interest. And the more people I speak to, especially when it comes to online marketers that could extend their referral network and working with those people, the more I hear that a monthly retainer model for them even is more interesting. So they would rather send their clients to us when we charge a monthly retainer rather than when we charge a bigger one-off price.
And do you want to talk about pricing, like how expensive it can be or how not so expensive it can be, like in terms of getting websites sped up?
Yeah, so usually our custom process starts at around $450, $450 USD with all the custom coding. That includes if we need to install like a caching plugin or an image optimization plugin or whatever, that includes the license as well. For the monthly retainer, we're currently trying to figure out how we can price this model at around $80 per month for ensuring that the website stays up to speed as well. The thing with that is it's somewhat tough for us because we need to limit what the client can do. Like if the client installs broken link checker or has WordFence running all the time, then he will blame us for a slow website, even though we didn't do anything to slow it down. He did it himself. So we need to, before we can offer that model, we need to make sure that we have a bulletproof system in place to firstly educate our clients, like what they can do on their own and what they probably should ask us. And then we need to set up all the software that monitors the loading speed and stuff like that.
Okay. And once you get into this monthly retainer maintenance, do you also plan to maintain the hosting? Because hosting is very important when with regard to speed optimization, that, that you you hold the control of the hosting environment.
Yeah, at least we will need to have all the logins for the hosting. And we need to have access to like cPanel or other control panels that the hosting provider uses. I'm not too sure if I want to take over hosting currently, to be honest, because there are really good managed hosting companies, like we named a few already. Those usually work very reliable. So what we might end up doing is, before taking up a client for a monthly retainer, transfer them to one of those really good hosting companies that we can rely on, and then work with those hosting companies.
Because a lot of people who do retainers, not just for speed optimization, like just normal maintenance and care, they do bundle in the hosting part within that. That looks more attractive to an end user client because he's just paying one invoice per month to getting everything done. So it can be a good idea. Now, regarding your client mix, like most of these clients are from US or from other countries as well?
Most are from the US currently.
And majority of them are WooCommerce websites or or you also like trying to increase the base of non-WooCommerce websites?
Well, we first want to get a foot in the ground with the e-commerce market. So it makes sense for us to focus on WooCommerce. We have quite a large number of domains that are potential clients for us in the WooCommerce area. So first, we will focus on reaching out to those and pitching our service to those sites. And I'm working on the referral network on the site, which usually involves speaking to many like coaches and consultants. And those have usually other clients. Those have clients that are authors and that are bloggers and maybe small business owners.
And where do you advertise about the speed optimization service? Like on a specific website you have?
On wpmastery.xyz.
Okay. Now, besides speed optimization service, I see you write a lot of articles because I've seen your few posts on Liquid Web Blog. So
yeah,
want to talk about it? Like, is it a passion or is it like a parallel work task routine thing for you?
It is. Yeah. It started out with my desire to build my brand a bit more and to build up more backlinks to my website.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even reach out to them. What really played well together was in the week I made the decision to get more into guest posting and to start pitching websites. Their VP of product, Chris Lima, reached out to me via Twitter and asked me about a potential collaboration.
Uh-huh.
And then he referred me to their content marketing team at Liquid Web, and we worked out a contract that works for both sides very well. I currently write 2 articles for them per month, around 1,500 words minimum.
Okay.
And I really enjoy writing for them, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm actually talking to Akshat Chudari, the founder of Blockward and Malcare.
Okay.
Because they seem to be working on a different or on a similar content marketing strategy with introducing authors to their blog.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm talking to him about if we can figure out a way that I can become a contributor on their blog as well.
So this is not guest posting. It's like serious paid writing position, right?
Yeah. With Liquid Web, it's serious paid writing. With Akshat, it will be probably similar.
Mm-hmm.
So, just adding a nice little income stream, basically. It's nothing too crazy, but I'm all about diversifying the income.
Just curious, like how many hours or how many days does it take to write one article, like which is 1500 plus words?
Depends on the topic. I wrote one article, which is an introduction to a WP boilerplate plugin, the one that I shared in the group today.
Yeah.
That took quite a bit because I took all the screenshots of sections of the code that are important to understand and then walk people through how they can customize that code. So that takes about probably with refining and going back and forth, probably a day. Like 8 hours or something in traditional work days. Other posts that don't need that many screenshots, for example, one is in review currently about working with WP freelancers. Those usually are faster, like 4 hours to 5 hours, and then adding the review with the feedback that I get from Liquid Web on top.
And obviously you use Grammarly, right?
Yeah.
it's a favorite tool for everyone, you know. Okay.
Oh, yes, it saves my life.
It saves everyone's life. English is not an easy language, at least when you're writing, right? So yeah. Let's dive into Toolbox. So Yanko, I'm actually pronouncing your name again and again because I want to perfect it. So what are your current 5 favorite tools that power your online business?
Okay, I see WordPress as a given and everything that's related to that. Other than that, Asana is huge for me and for the agency I work on because we do all the task management there.
Okay.
Slack for communication internally in the agency is really, really important. Google Drive for sharing all the files. We have like 5 terabytes or something in Google Drive used with their unlimited data plan. So we have 3 right now. Then we have, recently what became very important for me is GT Metrics with their API functionality. It's really good. The same is true for hunter.io, which is very important in our outreach process. And then MixMax for sending those emails.
You just mentioned about communicating with team members. I just got curious, like, are your team members like, they are remote, they are in Germany, or they are some in other countries?
For the agency that I'm employed at?
Nope, your website optimization service.
Okay, so the website optimization service are remote contractors.
Oh, okay.
The agency I work in is mostly based in Germany, but located in different areas of Germany. So Slack is really important for that as well.
Okay, now you are into speed optimization service and page builders actually are not the favorite of developers. They all have allergy to it. Even I used to have allergy to page builders, but now that allergy has converted into pure love because it's
with Beaver Builder, yeah.
Yeah, not just Beaver Builder. Actually, Beaver Builder was the second page builder I used. The first I used was Site Origin, which is still, till date, is really good. It's just, it doesn't have those modules and fanciness, but...
Okay.
But if you compare the speed optimization type of thing, then Site Origin is very optimized. But then Beaver Builder, you know, balances everything for a developer. It doesn't have too much fanciness like other page builders, like newer page builders, but it gives you everything that you need for any kind of website build. Now it has Beaver Themer, which actually blows the competition away because you can actually build any part of a website using Beaver products. So are you actually a fan of any page builder plugin?
I use Thrive Architect on my own website, which seems to be working pretty well for me because I also use their leads plugin to generate email leads or email opt-ins.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I have yet to try Beaver Builder. I still somewhat manage my way to not use it until now.
Oh, it's amazing.
I'll probably switch. So you really made me curious with
actually,
that.
Actually, a lot of people do use Thrive and I think they use it. I've never used Thrive, but I see a lot of people using Thrive because they have, you know, they have their pre-made email landing page templates.
Yeah, and a lot of people have templates for everything.
Yeah, and a lot of people ask me why Beaver Builder doesn't have these kind of templates. I don't know. Even I don't know the answer, but Thrive Builder actually thrives on these template layouts itself because they are like pre-made template. Like you want to do a webinar, just throw in a template, change the name.
100%. Yeah. So, and that's my main reason as well. Like the templates are amazing. They are super easy to customize and they look great. And most importantly for me is to save time when building websites. Like I have the Genesis framework as a foundation on my website. So all the blog posts and like the static pages that aren't that important in quotation marks, those are built with the Genesis framework only with no Thrive Architect features, but the landing pages and the sales pages and stuff like that, I just love the templates for.
Cool. You reminded of me Genesis because I use Genesis for almost 4 or 5 years, ever since Genesis was Genesis. But now everything is like mellowed down. I only have like two websites on Genesis, my personal websites. All have gone to either Beaver Builder theme or Astra theme. So times are changing.
Definitely. What do you think about the acquisition of Genesis by WP Engine?
Well, it's an uncertain time. Let me tell you, I also sell commercial Genesis child themes. I have a website called Simple Pro Themes where I sell two commercial Genesis themes. And ever since they've acquired Genesis, the theme sales have picked up. I don't know why. I really don't know why.
Probably because Genesis is getting more attention now.
Maybe because that's given like when they complete the, you know, overall integration. So when you spin up a new WP Engine website or WordPress hosting there, they will pre-install your Genesis framework. And I'm sensing that they will also pre-install majority of their child themes on it.
Yeah.
So
you should get a partnership with them then.
Let's see. Because on that thread on the Facebook group, the person from WP Engine did say that we are not going to close the third party Genesis theme ecosystem.
Yeah.
Instead, we will try to flourish it. Now, let's see, because there's no clarity as of now, there's no communication after that. So because even when they were not acquired, Genesis itself had a lot of third party themes listed on the StudioPress website. So let's see, because all third party themes do not have that kind of code quality. So I don't know how they will go about it, but to be honest and brutally, or I should say to be brutally honest, I think they have missed the bus a little because they just focused on one thing. We are for developers. But the thing is, even developers are using different themes these days. So
yeah.
I think they should have moved with the times. Like everyone stacked their theme settings into customizer, just like WordPress said. But Genesis still has their Genesis theme page floating around in the WordPress dashboard, even though you can access those settings in the customizers. But then why duplicate the effort, right? So, because if you compare it with newer themes like GeneratePress, Astra, they actually blow the competition away because they are as good as Genesis in terms of code quality. And they are also developer friendly because they have the similar hook system. Like you, if you know PHP, you can hook anything anywhere. So I don't know. I'm a regular user of Beaver Builder theme, but I also use Astra on a lot of websites. So Astra I've been using ever since it came out. So I've seen how it has grown. So with Astra, you can do actually anything with its pro add-on because it has so many features. You can exploit hooks without writing any, you know, code. Because in Genesis, if you want to exploit hooks, the only way is PHP and break your websites, right?
But
I don't know. Maybe they should revamp or think about it. Now it's in hands of WP Engine. Let's see what they do. But the I think the core development team behind Genesis is still the same. At least it would remain same for at least few years. So
and now they have a bit more funding. So we'll see what they can do with that.
They have more money in the bank. Oh, money makes you go places. So let's see.
Yeah.
So let's see. And WP Engine has lots and lots and lots of money, to be honest. And and they recently upped their prices also. So they are only focusing on the creamy part of the client base. They are not looking for, you know, people who are just there who can't afford, like, you got to pay $35 per month. If you can't, just please. There are so many options. There's HostGator who will give you $35 for a year, right? So, I to be honest, it's the about Genesis. I'm not too sure. I wouldn't say the future is not bright. The future is bright in the sense that WP Engine acquired it. Now let's see if it messes up with it or it actually makes it better, because Genesis does need a lot of improvement. As such, it as a base framework, it's good. But when you compare it with the practical usage by normal people, they need a lot of improvement. They can just copy theme features from a lot of, you know, themes like Astra.
Yeah.
Who cares? It's the GPL world.
So 100%, I agree.
But then, let's see. I don't know, because they, the only intention WP Engine spend that much money to get it because they want to use it to flourish their WordPress hosting business. So
they just need another reason. And I think they need more goodwill in the community. Like if they can say 2 years from now, see where Genesis was and where we got them to be with like adapting similar functionality to page builders like Beaver Builder or the Astra theme or something like that, then they'll have up their position game like really, really big.
And people will become their raving fans, to be honest, because Genesis has a lot of hearts behind them. Even my heart is behind Genesis because I've used Genesis for so many years. It's been 4 or 5, maybe more than that. And I've made so many websites on it because it was a normal routine for me. Like Genesis framework installed, put in the sample theme, then start making the custom thing. That's how I made so many of websites. So heart is behind there. Now it depends on WP Engine, whether they want to break the heart or get more love. So okay, so besides the page builder Genesis, what about your email marketing? Which is your favorite email marketing service? I'm sure you send a lot of emails, right?
I do send a newsletter twice a week using MailChimp. Ever since I started, I used MailChimp. I'm not too happy with MailChimp, to be honest. Like they're lacking a lot of functionality when it comes to tagging people and when it comes to dynamic.
They just announced yesterday they are introducing tags.
Yeah, I'm really curious how that will play out. Yeah, because I was like that close to switching to Drip or ActiveCampaign or whatever, but I just never took the time to do it. Basically,
I was going to switch to Seva, but guess what? They dropped the name. They are back to ConvertKit. So
yeah.
I'll just switch to ConvertKit.
I just thought when I read that, I just thought it would be a marketing gag or something like that. Like how can you announce changing the name that big and then go back to it without talking to the people?
Because they didn't do proper research on the word they used.
Yeah, they didn't know the religious meaning. behind it. Yeah,
it's not about religious, it's also about spiritual and so many things. And okay. this word is close to heart of a lot of people who understand the meaning of that. And even if you don't, even if you take the heart out and just talk from the practical English point of view, like English language point of view, Seva yeah. means free community service, and ConvertKit is not going to provide their service for free. So end of the story, no. right? So
that's true. And actually in Germany, it's very close to a tissue brand. So if they would make people cry, they would like have, we have Seva tissues where they can okay. wipe off their tears.
but they did stick to their branding. I think they've changed the logo of ConvertKit yeah. to the Seva logo, which is the circle thing with a painting drawn, which is good. I like the branding part, but name, well, I it's not that I hate it, but it just was a pure mismatch with what they were doing. And unless they were running a community, a charity thing, it was awesome. It would give Red Cross run for money.
Yeah.
But okay, let's talk about the lighter side of Yan Ko.
Almost.
First, congrats on your upcoming marriage. So are you excited?
Oh, yes, I am. I proposed last year in June. I took my fiance to a trip to Paris.
Okay.
But like the holy city of love, at least here in Germany, it's known like that. And then I took her to a place called Montmartre, which mm-hmm. is like a hill on top of Paris. So we went there in the evening. It was full of tourists. And then I fell down on my knees and she could watch all over Paris in that moment. And she was like super surprised.
Man, so, that would have been amazing vlog. You should have hired a cameraman. Right?
Luckily, she said yes. Yeah. But we are in a relation for 10 years last month. So it's about time to get married.
Yeah, time to get optimized.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll ask you the same question, you know, after a few years. Okay, stay there. Now, considering that you do a lot of things work-wise, agency work, speed optimization service, handling a team, communicating with the team at agency, handling your team at speed optimization service, like how do you stay focused as a creative person? Because being focused is out of focus for a lot of people who are in this yeah. sphere.
I became a huge believer in routines. Mm-hmm. Like I use coach.me for habit tracking, the app coach.me. Mm-hmm. I have, don't let me lie, like 9 habits that I'm tracking. Mm-hmm. I try to do them daily, but I get like 60% of them daily. They range from organizing tasks, like in Asana, you have an inbox with all the changes that are plopping up. I try to get inbox 0 in Asana daily mm-hmm. so that I'm on top of everything. I like to get email inbox 0 daily for the same reason. I try to write at least 100 words per day. The reason I chose 100 is so that I don't put too much pressure on myself. Like, 100 words doesn't get me anywhere, to be honest. It's not enough for an email. It's not closely enough for a paragraph of a blog post. But you don't stop at 100 words. You just aim at 100 words and then you're in the flow and you go for like another 15, 20 minutes and you crank out like 400, 500 words. That's my, at least my rationale behind that. That's
and,
how I
and,
work.
And you write on the computer or on a paper? Because if you're writing on a paper, it will take you a long, long time, because yeah. all those people who are used to computers, they will type so fast on the computer. Yeah. And when it comes to paper, man, it's like a snow snail pace.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I've written anything else than my name on paper this year.
Or signature.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I try to write, or I write on the computer. What I do then is my blog posts, I usually write them directly in WordPress with the no disturb mode on, like flushing out all the sidebars and menus and stuff. And then I just put the window in full screen and I make sure that I have everything that could distract me off. Like I turn Slack off, I close the Asana tab. I usually have my phone, just as I'm looking at it right now, I have my phone laying with the face down. No notifications, no vibrations, nothing, so that the phone doesn't disturb me anytime during the work. And I miss a lot of phone calls because of that, but I couldn't care less, to be honest, because you can't write code if the phone rings every 30 minutes or something. You have to be in focus for that.
Yeah, because you need to disconnect sometime, not just when you're working. When you're working online, you need to disconnect from the offline things. But when you're offline, you need to disconnect from the online things. Yeah. My habit is like, I don't turn on 3G or 4G on my phone. And when I'm off from the work, like when I take an afternoon nap or something, I'll just turn off the internet router so that there's nothing that will disturb me.
Yeah.
You know, phone on the silent mode.
I really like that. And
it really helps, you know, because when you are trying to sleep and some message pops in, be it WhatsApp or Facebook, it's a human tendency to check what it is, at least give a glance, and you get disturbed a lot. I just turn off the internet, you know.
I put my phone on airplane mode like around 9 p.m. and then I try to not keep it or to keep it in airplane mode until I finish at least a meditation session and my writing session.
Good. So what are your future expectations and targets with regard to your journey in the online world? You already told me about your offline plans. What are your online plans now?
Just become more known, connect to more people in the WordPress community, like with your group that you added me to. There are so many fantastic people in there that I didn't really have a connection to before.
Which group do you want to promote it?
The web creators that, like, what's the name? I don't want to butcher it. Is it web creators? It's three words.
It's web creators community. And community, to access that group, there's a short URL, webcreatorsgroup.com.
Definitely go there. If you're listening to this or watching this, definitely join that group. There are so many fantastic people in there.
Even my heart lies there, you know. I love checking updates there. So let's stop talking about that group. Enough of promotion. Let's talk about your future plans.
I just want to grow my brand. Obviously, I want to grow my businesses so that the agency I work for grows. We are on a pretty good track this year to sign up some pretty big companies here in Germany as clients. We do print and web design, which is pretty exciting. So we work, for example, with a chemical company here that has, I think, 15,000 employees. Something like that. And we do internal brochures for them. Mm-hmm. So that is pretty big. We are friends with the head of one of the university hospitals in one of the bigger areas in Germany, in the Ruhrgebiet. So that's going well. And for my freelancing business, I want to grow the speed optimization service, obviously. I want to add some sort of monthly retainer or monthly income so that it's becoming more stable rather than relying on one-off services. And I really need to fine-tune the processes even more internally so that managing the business takes up less work than it currently does.
And what makes you more excited, working as a developer for the agency or doing your own thing with the speed optimization, content writing, and a lot of other things on the other side of your online life?
It's both super exciting because it's somewhat different. In the agency, I'm hands-on in the projects. Like, I write the code myself and I do the project planning and management and stuff. And for my own company, for my freelance business, I try to stay on top of things and have other people execute based on what I tell them to. And it's those balance each other out quite nicely. So I'm super excited about both. I'm not sure if I could pick one over the other.
And what makes you happy in the online and offline world?
That's a good question. Online,
because I'm not going to ask you about the sad things. There are so many. So let's stick to the happy one.
I wouldn't know a single sad thing. I try to focus on the positive things.
That's really good.
Seriously. It just keeps me sane. What makes me happy online is getting to know many more people all around the globe. So I live in a city or in a town with 50,000 employees, and I'm probably one of five people who does online interviews like this in the city. So I really enjoy being in my cozy little home here and talking to people all over the world. We are right now, like thousands of kilometers away. And just experiencing how other people work in the WordPress community and in online marketing in general gets me super excited. In the offline world, the marriage, obviously, so getting married is an event that I'm really looking forward to. We have a pretty nice place here. We have a pretty large ground where we can have a horse right behind our in our backyard, basically. The backyard is that.
Yeah, late. You mentioned like last time our meeting was scheduled, you said 150 bales of hay came to your place. Yeah. And I was thinking, like, bales of hay? What he's talking about? Maybe he lives in a rural setting, maybe not. Yeah. Do you have agriculture set up? Like, you have animals, farm animals around?
We have one horse and we have a dog.
Okay.
Next year we'll get another dog. We did have two horses until I think October last year, but then one unfortunately got sick and died. So we have 1,500 square meters in our property, so that's pretty big. And we have a place for the horse so it can stay during winter and summer. So we're luckily in the position that we can keep the horse in the winter on our backyard as well, because we have a dedicated building for it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to sound too posh. We just inherited the house, basically. It's the parents' home from my fiance, mm-hmm. which we inherited. And they put everything in place for us, basically. So it's nothing too crazy. But it's very cozy for us here. And we have very, very nice neighbors. We have a very, very good community here in our street. So just spending time with friends and with neighbors and just basically even taking care of all this, because it's a lot of work to maintain. But just being able, once you've done the job and you're sitting in the backyard and just being able to enjoy what you've accomplished, that's a really good way to cool down after a hectic day online.
And having a horse is that just a passion, or is it a racehorse with serious business implications?
It has been a racehorse, actually, but my fiance just uses it as a passion for now. So she's had horses for the past like 11, 12, 13 years, something like that. I really wasn't into animals at all before I met her.
But now you have to be interested in animals.
I am. I actually became very interested. Like the first few months we met, and mm-hmm. they had two dogs at that time. I didn't want to touch the dogs. I thought they were dirty and they would mess up with my clothes and stuff like that. So I was super picky. And now I couldn't care less if they make my clothes dirty or something like that. I really love all animals now.
Man, that's, and I don't need to ask you, do you horse riding? Obviously you do, right?
No, I don't. I actually don't. Only my fiance does. I just take care of the horse when she's not around.
Okay, so that's on your to-do list now, right?
I'm somewhat scared of that, to be honest.
Well, you were scared of dogs also, so you got to take the next step, right?
Yeah, maybe in the future I will.
Okay, Yon, thank you so much for sparing time and coming on the show. It was an amazing chat. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too.
You can join the free Web Creators community to learn and share with other web creators at webcreatorsgroup.com. And for more goodness, just head over to smartwebcreators.com. And remember, be smart, keep creating. See you next time.